So this is not going to be a super serious podcast episode, but I do have to start with the most recent happening as we start for this intro. As all of you know, who've been listening and probably are tired of hearing about, we are moving and packing. And with that comes the discovery of things that you didn't know you lost or didn't know you had or can't believe you still have, as well as some accidental trips down memory lane. And I had one such event take place as I was going through some boxes out of our closet and rearranging and getting things ready. And I think we have two or three boxes that are kind of dedicated to Bella and her memory. And as I was going through one of these boxes, I came across a bear that we had made. I believe the company is called Molly's Bear, Molly's Bears, something like that. Basically, what they do is you send the information to this company, and then they create a bear similar to Build-A-Bear, but much better quality. And the special part of this bear, outside of the decorations or colors or attire, is that they also make the bear match the weight of the infant that you lost. In our instance, that would be 5 pounds and 14 ounces. So the box that I was pulling the stuff out of was a little beat up. And so I took a few things out, and the last thing in the box was the bear. And I already knew about the bear, but it's been in the box for a while, and so it had slipped my mind. And when I picked it up, I immediately noticed the weight of a bear. Most stuffed animals are super light and fluffy, but this one was a little heavier. And as I stood there in my room, taking the bear out of the box, and my memory went back to the meaning of the weight, I couldn't help but just look at the bear for a few seconds and then cradle it between my bicep and elbow. And I have to admit, I even rocked a little bit back and forth. It's surprising the feeling that that brings, as you can imagine. I don't remember Bella feeling that heavy, but for a few minutes I got to take a little trip back, even though I wasn't intending to, and just remember what it was like to hold her. There's a lot of memories of that situation that I simply hate, but at the same time, there's a lot of memories of that situation that I'm thankful that I still have.
You are now listening to the Just Breathe podcast.
You know what I forgot? September. I put the first chapter of that short story out, I think, what, 2 episodes ago? And my plan was to kind of judge to see how well the episode did to determine if I should continue reading a short story that I wrote that no one cares about. But I didn't really have any type of data to back up how I would determine if the episode did well. The episode is trending right along the same as every other episode, between that 30 and 50 listens. So I think what I'll do is, maybe for a better gauge, is maybe I'll do a bonus podcast episode and I'll just read the entire 8 chapters in one episode. And then I can determine the amount of listens that that gets in order to know, should I stop reading for the rest of my life? Or should I jump to another short story I have? I think that's what I'll do. So for all of you, and I'm sure there's hundreds and hundreds that are just biting their tongue, waiting for the next chapter of September. Right now, people are like, wait, he read a short story? Didn't even listen, skipped ahead to get to the stuff about my principal. I'm going to do an episode where I just read the entire September short story. And then if it only gets 4 listens, I'll go, damn it. But if it gets like 60, we might be changing this whole format. But I forgot, but I didn't forget. So I'm going to do that. That'll be a better way for me to gauge it. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back a couple episodes, September chapter 1, my one and only love story, filled with a very steamy, passionate love scene under the moonlight. So go listen to that. And then sometime in the next couple weeks, I will record the rest of it. And then I will track to see how well that does. Speaking of a few episodes ago, I talked about a fake injury that I had during my basketball career as a high schooler. And as soon as I listened back to the episode, once it released, just to make sure everything sounded okay, I had another memory of another faked injury. And I noticed I have a trend. At my job, I have a team of reps that report to me. And part of my job is to identify trends, whether they're not being productive enough or they have attendance issues. And if I had a boss right now in life, he would say I have a trend of faking injuries. I was working at the HEB warehouse. That is our local grocery chain here in Texas, which is in the top five things I'm going to miss when we leave Texas. HEB has been good to us, good to our city, good to our state, convenient, friendly. They help out. They do so much. And so I'm going to miss it because I think on the East Coast, you can only get groceries from like the gas station. I don't know how it works there. They're so weird up there. But anyways, I was working at HEB warehouse and I worked the night shift. And your boy was in charge of the forklift. You might already be able to see where this is going. But I was really good, if there's such a thing. I was really good at the forklift. I remember using the forklift and moving pallets and boxes. And as I passed the people, or peasants as I called them, that were just standing on the warehouse floor, not in a forklift, I remember getting like little chills over my body. Because I felt cool. This is embarrassing. And here's something I would do. I would fake chew gum. I didn't have gum. But as I drove past these people, I would fake chew gum. I don't know what that means. There must be some weird psychological thing I'm doing there. I think you look cooler if you're chewing gum. I would fake chew gum as I drove my forklift past them. But I could whip that thing around and go backwards and reverse and lift up the fork and just all kinds of impressive things that I'm sure a lot of people still think about today that worked with me. But one evening, I was not so smooth with the forklift, and I was carrying two pallets stacked on top of each other, and it happened to be liquid. I don't remember what the liquid was. I want to say it was like vegetable oil or something. And I came around the corner, fake chewing my gum, and I caught the edge of the pallet on the corner of one of the wall supports, and I lost the game of pallet Jenga. And it's one of those things where it's not just a mess, but as the pallets fell and they hit the ground, the liquid exploded in all directions. So beyond just the pallets you dropped, it was also affecting everything around it. And I got out of my forklift, humiliated. I swallowed my fake gum and I walked up and I started to like bend down and clean up. But I'm telling you, there was like 150 vegetable oils exploded everywhere. It's one of those impossible messes to clean up. And so I did the honorable thing and I walked up to the pile and did a little fake fall into the vegetable oil. And kind of pulled a few more that were still hanging on by a thread down on top of my legs. You know, now that I think about it, I wonder if they had cameras. I guess they didn't because nothing ever came from it. But they ran out there as they heard the explosion of liquid and saw me laying down and rushed me to the hospital. They actually sent me to a downtown hospital. I think that was the only hospital I can go to that accepted my insurance. And I had a sprained ankle. Because there's no way you can prove it's not sprained. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know I was such a damn liar. I feel really guilty about that. I think I was out of work for a couple weeks, but I didn't get like workman's comp. Or maybe I did. Do I owe the government money? I owe my mom money for the emergency fake. And now I owe... I guess it goes to Biden. I don't even know. Who do you pay workman's comp back to? I don't think I faked any other injuries. I'll keep thinking about it, and if I come across another one, I will mention it to you, because I think we have a little bit of a thread going here, and I want to keep it going. I want people to know how dishonest I was. But at least I was creative, if we're going to look for the silver lining. We are moving in, is it 2 weeks? Let me see. Today's the 28th. There's 3 more days plus 13 days. Wow. We are out of this mofo in just under 2 weeks. And I'm looking around my house and it doesn't feel like we're moving at all. I've done so much too. I think we have somewhere between 40 and 45 boxes boxed. But it's one of those things where you're moving, but as you're moving, you're making more of a mess and everything's just stacking up. And every room I walk into, I just cuss. I'm not a super neat perfectionist kind of person, but I do like areas to be cleared and clean of debris. And usually you can expect the kitchen to be a little messy, or the kids' rooms, or sometimes our room. But right now, no matter what room you walk into, it is a disaster. So there's no point of relief. There's no place to go and breathe. So what I did is I just marked out a little 4x4 square area on the middle of the dining room floor that I vacuumed real good. And I just sit inside that square and find my happy place. But just 2 weeks, it's so surreal. It's so scary. It's so exciting. I have been kind of speaking to this maybe a little negatively, but if you can allow me to be petty for just a few seconds, I deserve to be petty, right? I want to flip it a little bit, and I do want to take a few moments, because there is so much unknown in this move. There's so many things we're leaving behind, so many things we're going to miss. My children are going their own separate ways. There's a lot of things that aren't necessarily quote-unquote positive. They're all changes, but I do want to take a couple minutes and be petty in my own passive-aggressive way. Allow me this moment. And I do want to thank the few people that are making this move easy. At work, we have a situation sometimes when an employee will quit. And when we fill out the form, there's a section at the bottom that says regrettable or non-regrettable. Basically meaning, is this someone that we lost that we wanted to keep and it's going to hurt us and we need to work to replace them? Or was this just kind of a little doucher? Do they still say doucher? I don't even know if that's ever been said. But if this was an employee situation, these few wonderful people would be non-regrettable. So I want to take a second and thank them for making the move easier. If for nothing else, to get away from them. I told you it's petty. In fact, I don't even see these people or talk to them much. But there are a few of you out there that I am okay with moving on from. You like that song by Rascal Flatts? And this group, I just want to take the time to say thank you for being the extra boost of, I'm not really sure if we should move or not move. Again, if for nothing else, it gave me that little oomph. And I know you sit there and hide behind how clever you are, like you don't know what you're doing. Oh man, people are funny. You know what's really shocking is, as I'm being petty, is that there's a lot of similarities between adults and like toddlers and how we interact and talk to each other. My wife has some amazing stories with situations that she has to face at work and just the different interactions with parents and coworkers. I think we all can be selfish and immature. And then sometimes life adds trials and struggles that just magnifies that. At this point, no one knows what I'm talking about, probably. So I'm going to move away from being petty. I just wanted to dedicate a couple of seconds to thanking those who are making this move easy. Okay? Okay, petty is over now. But as we're getting closer to this leave, we are going to be taking, we're calling it kind of a last family road trip. Hopefully, that's just being dramatic and we'll have a few more. As I've stressed and talked about enough, my two older children are going to college and so won't be living with us when we move. And so we wanted to take these last few weeks we have together to make them a little more memorable. And that includes a road trip we're going to be taking, because obviously we have to get our vehicle and our dog up to the East Coast. So we thought we would take about a week of time to just dedicate to us five and Starboy as we travel. And originally we had this little road trip situation to where we're going to hit like New Orleans and Florida, go up through Tennessee, over through Washington, Pennsylvania, and then end up in New Jersey. But as we looked at the different options available to us, we did stumble across, really accidentally, a headline on, I think it was Yahoo or Facebook, that was talking about teachers and first responders getting discounted tickets to Disney. And that's been one of our dreams for a long time. My wife has been when she was younger. My daughter went when she was in high school, but we've never gone as a unit. And I've always heard horror stories of Disney, not necessarily the park, but just that if your kids are too small, it's not fun, or it's more difficult, or the lines are unbearable, or the price, blah, blah, blah. But now I have a 19-year-old, almost 20, an 18-year-old, and then Caleb's 11, so they can all pretty much function and take care of themselves. And we rolled into this accidental headline that said teachers and first responders get hugely discounted tickets. And while we were actually planning the New Orleans, Florida, Tennessee trip, we did a quick left turn and landed on this page. And within 30 minutes and a phone call later, we kind of uprooted the entire trip. And now we're actually going to be in Orlando to visit Disney Universal Studios for about 5 days in the middle of this road trip. And it's pretty exciting. We're still going to hit New Orleans, but then from there we'll go straight to Orlando. And then from Orlando, we'll make our way up towards New Jersey with a couple of stops along the way. But the majority of our trip will be spent in Disney. And so the kids are, besides themselves, excited. I am as well. But there's always a but. There's got to be parents out there that have these ideas for, let's go to Fiesta Texas, or even sometimes it can be as simple as, you know what, guys, let's go have dinner tonight at Chili's. It can be a simple Chili's visit. Am I the only parent that, as you prepare for this big event, whatever it may be, from dinner to Disney, and you have this idea of what it's going to be like, you're getting everybody ready, you're getting everybody dressed, you've picked out the location, you're driving there, and for some reason, your kids make you regret ever being born? There's been so many, oh my God, especially when money is attached to it, which this is, as discounted as it was, there's still money attached to this trip. And I've been with my kids their whole lives, and I know sometimes that they can be the worst part. Sorry. I've heard people don't like that I laugh and others that love it, but it sounds funny. My kids can be the worst part of our family vacations. I know I'm not the only one, because I've talked to some people, but the arguing or the bickering or the complaining or can I buy that or I can't. I knew most of that would die off as they got older, and it has. It's not as bad, but there's still situations that as I'm driving to the lake for a wonderful vacation, I'm going, son of a bitch, this is stupid. Fix your attitude up. Stop it now. I don't even know why I spent so much money. So you guys can complain the whole time? We're going to stop in a few minutes. You can get a drink then. Why are you still touching him? Okay, where is his charger? He had his own charger. Everybody had their own chargers. Oh, so you took my charger the other day, but you're not going to let him use yours? Which headphone broke? Can you let him sit by the window this time? You sat there earlier. What do you want to look out the window for anyways? There's nothing out there. Just cars. You've already seen them. Did someone spill their drink and not say anything? How do you not say anything, though? It's all over your backpack now. Are you serious? If you guys don't stop arguing, we're going to leave right now before the food even gets here. That is enough. You both have your own menu. I just have some nightmarish ideas of what it might be like in Disney. Probably not, right? They're grown. I'm hoping, being that they're older, that won't happen. But in the back of my mind, and I can be a grumpy bear. I'm not sure if people know this. Sometimes I can turn into a little grumpy bear. And I'm a grumpy bear because if I know I've dropped $300 on something and 20% of it is spent arguing or upset or, can you guys just smile? Oh my God, just one good smile. Stop being silly. Okay, the sun's not that bright. Y'all done that one? When you're taking a picture of the kids outside and they act like they're staring at the sun from 4 feet away and they have to put their hand over their face. It's that bright. You were in the church for 2 minutes and now you can't even open your eyes at all. And the pictures are all messed up. Nicole even starts cussing. It gets real out there, guys. But when money's attached to it, I can start to get a little concerned and worried. On top of it, I want to make sure they have a good time. Can you guys tell that I overthink stuff too much? So anyways, we have a road trip coming up. I'm excited about it. There's a little bit of nervous, but I also deal with anxiety and my own personal issues that I haven't worked through since my childhood. So I understand that I can shelve that. But I'm excited about what's to come and this little trip we have planned together. Looking forward to it and the memories along the way. With that being said, again, the 30 to 50 of you, I'm not really sure how I'm going to do the podcast over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to do my best to get something out, but it may be a little bit difficult as we really crank down on making sure the house is clean and packed up. And then, of course, we're on the road driving to wherever we may drive. So all that's coming up. I'm excited about it. But before any of that happens, my son is graduating. His graduation is on Monday, and we are celebrating this weekend. I'm so happy that there's a breath of fresh air arriving at the airport, and we'll be able to celebrate with him and enjoy some family time together. And it's really weird. Three of my four kids have graduated high school. I am old as balls. I need Caleb to stay 11. It's a weird time in life. So much is changing. So much is the same. It's really dynamic. All right, it's enough about road trips. Let me take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the day I learned that my childhood hero sucked. Okay, we're going to keep a positive flow to this. The next segment is about when your childhood heroes suck. We'll be right back. A few years ago, my wife and I found ourselves at the Alamo City Comic Con. And if you don't know what that is, which you may, it is Texas' version of the big Comic Cons that take place in California and New York, to where there's all things comics. There's collectibles, there's vendors, there's food. They usually rent out one of the bigger stadiums, and there's several different activities you can take part in, along with celebrity guests that take part in this event. And I think this may have been a gift. Was this a birthday gift? Here's the part of the episode that I try to remember something only to be completely wrong. And my wife says, "No, that was for Valentine's Day, you jackass." It was some type of gift. And it was like a package deal gift she got me, because she got us tickets to go to Alamo Comic Con. And then there was this other newer celebrity fan fest thing that was taking place. And she got tickets for that. Before I talk about Alamo City Comic Con and childhood heroes that suck, she did buy the tickets to the other celebrity fan fest thing. And she bought the tickets for me because she knows I'm such a big nerd when it comes to comics. And she bought the tickets for me because she knew that there was some actors going to be at the Celebrity Fan Fest, because she knows that I love superhero movies. And she bought the tickets for me because two of the guys that were going to be there were in superhero films that I liked. And she bought the tickets for me because one of them was named Ben Affleck and one was named Jason Momoa. She bought that for me. On my birthday, she handed me tickets to go and see Jason Momoa because it was for me. I'm not even going to say anything else. One more thing. She bought them for me because she wanted me to see Jason Momoa. Whatever. Anyways, we went to Alamo City Comic Con, and there was a laundry list of celebrities that were going to be there. And if you haven't been to a Comic-Con, the way this portion of the event works is you kind of go through all the different vendors who are selling comics and artwork and posters and collectibles and Funko Pops, everything you can possibly imagine related to pop culture. is available to you. Most of it overpriced, all of it super enticing and highly addictive. Kid in a candy store, 42-year-old man walking around like I was a toddler with Willy Wonka. Is that a good analogy? I don't know that I've seen the entire Willy Wonka movie. It annoys me. I don't know why. I was super excited to be at Alamo City Comic Con, though. We were going to be able to see some of the cast from Karate Kid, Cobra Kai, Game of Thrones. There were some people from Netflix's Marvel shows, as well as Hill House, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund was there, the entire cast of The Sandlot, some of the cast members from the TV show The Office. And while we went through this section, obviously you're not allowed to take pictures because they charge you for pictures. The way it works is you find the celebrity booth table. It shows a poster board behind them that has their name, a few of the little pictures of different projects they've been a part of. And then you can walk up and take part in interacting. Typically, you can either meet them briefly for free. You can get an autograph for a price, or you can get a picture for a higher price. And depending on who it was and their status quo, those prices fluctuated. As we're making our way down this little aisleway situation, we have all these celebrities on either side of us. And I'm trying to think, I don't know that I've ever met a celebrity. My wife has a tantalizing story that I've only heard maybe 40 million times. Why am I picking on her so much? When she saw Sylvester Stallone at Hard Rock Cafe, oh, it's riveting. Think Stephanie Myers can rivet you. Wait till you hear that story. I'm being mean. Just kidding, babe. I'm trying to think, though. I don't know that I've ever met... I've been to, like, basketball and sporting events, but I've never talked to a celebrity, have I? Give me 1 second to research my podcast live. If I have, I can't remember at this moment. And I know I definitely hadn't met any celebrities that I was currently into and watching. And so we're in the situation to where you're not supposed to take pictures, but I don't have a lot of money in life. So I was trying to do a little walk by, click, click, take a little picture. Robert Englund over here. Is it England or England? Freddy. Hey, Freddy Krueger over here. Hey, Sandlot guy. I don't know anybody's names either. I call them all their cast names. Hey, aren't you Freddy Krueger? That kind of thing. And speaking of Freddy Krueger, as I got to him and took out my camera, I'd already snuck about six pictures walking along the way. But as I took my camera out to capture Freddy, one of his little security guys yelled at me in front of the entire Comic-Con audience and told me, "That's not allowed, sir." And I pretended like, "No, I was trying to get my signal. My Wi-Fi here is, oh, the Bluetooth is off. I'm sorry." Pretend like I wasn't taking a picture. But I did secretly get a few pictures of some people. And we're so cheap that we were not really going to the celebrities that we wanted to meet the most, although some of them were. But we were like, "Hey, does he let you just come meet him for freezies?" We said freezies to make them think we were adorable. And so a few of the celebrities let us come up just to greet them and say hello. In fact, all the Office cast did. It was Meredith, Oscar, and Creed. They were all there and allowed us to come up without paying anything, just to kind of say hello and talk. Really cool. But even before going up to them, the anxiety was taking over. I didn't know how to interact. So my wife, who I just threw under the bus, is, as always, my backbone in life and my support. She would have to hold my hand like a little baby and walk me up to them and kind of prep me, like, "Okay, just say hello. Just be okay. It's going to be all right. They're people too. They put their pants on the same way you do. Hi, Oscar. Yes, my name is Nicole. Nice to meet you. We love your show. This is my dumbass husband who hasn't said anything yet and keeps grinning." It was that kind of situation to where I don't know what to say to celebrity. I wasn't like dumbfounded, like in shock that they're there, but I didn't know what to say to them. What do you say to a celebrity? I guess just regular stuff like, "Hello, love your work. We love The Office." And after Nicole did the introduction of herself and then and got them prepared for my awkwardness, I would say things like, "I watch The Office every night. Do you like The Office?" I was like, "Oh shit, he's in The Office. Why would he like The Office?" So it was a cool situation. And the more celebrities we got to kind of talk to, the better. We even got to talk to Bran from Game of Thrones. What's his real life name? Why don't I research my podcast? The one that was actually given the throne. Bran. Raven, one-eyed Raven, in a coma for 7 seasons, but somehow came away with the throne. And when we talked to him, he even told us, this was right before the final season, he said, this final season is going to be epic. And I always have a little bit of a personal connection now with him. Hold on a second, let me find out what his name is. What's Bran's name? Isaac Hempstead Wright. I wouldn't even remember that if I tried. Bran Stark, played by Isaac Hempstead Wright. He was there and he looked us in the face and said, this final season is going to be epic. And again, I have this little connection I feel because that was before anyone knew that he was going to be the one to take the throne. Well, he didn't really take the throne because Drogon burnt it down, but now I'm getting sidetracked with the story. But he was given the crown, if you will. And I talked to him before anyone else knew. So that was a cool experience. But as we made our way to a few other celebrities, Neve Campbell was there. Who am I missing? The guy that played Luke Cage. Michael something. Here's my promise to you guys as I stumble through the story. Going forward, I promise you 1 hour of research before I start recording. Because that has to be frustrating for you to listen to me lag in real life. So we're walking through the celebrities and I see a celebrity up ahead. And I have a little bit of extra giddiness because of the nostalgia attached to it. Growing up, I was big into superheroes. I think most kids between 3 and 9 are. And I was no different. And growing up, my favorite superhero was the Incredible Hulk. And I was big into Knight Rider and Street Hawk and shows like that. Strangely, I stopped liking superheroes, but then became ridiculously addicted to them again once the MCU launched. And now my favorite is Captain America, if you're keeping track. But as a kid growing up, I would always turn into the Hulk. Was too poor to rip my shirt, because I think I only had 3 of them from Goodwill. But I was the Hulk all the time. And every week I was in front of the television watching the Incredible Hulk TV series that starred Bill Bixby as Banner before he turned into the Hulk, and then Lou Ferrigno, who played after he turned into the Hulk. And there was no CGI and special effects, which if you watch it now, did not age very well, but back then, CGI was not a thing that was prominent. And that's why they got Lou Ferrigno, who was a bodybuilder, a huge dude, that went from Bill Bixby, a much smaller dude. And Lou Ferrigno was just basically shirtless with ripped shorts and painted green. But it was mesmerizing as a kid. And I watched it weekly. And now I am some 35, 37 years later, walking down this little aisleway. And to my right, I see the banner behind the actor that says Lou Ferrigno. And I say to myself, son of a bitch, it's the Incredible Hulk. The same anxiety kicks in because now it's a little bit weirder. Like with the Office characters, because I watched the show so much, I felt like there's a connection that I can bring up an episode or something like that. Lou Ferrigno, outside of the Hulk, I don't know or care much about him. He was just attached to my childhood because of that TV show. And at this point in his life, he's had to have heard a billion times about the Incredible Hulk. So I'm doing that thing as we walk up, prepping my sentence. Anybody else ever do that? I used to do this in church a lot. The church I used to go to, when a service was coming to the end, sometimes the pastor, or the speaker, whoever was finishing up their sermon, they would get real cute and decide to call on somebody from the audience to close the entire service out in prayer. And this is just another example of my anxiety. I would have such anxiety about that moment, thinking that he was going to say, Paul De Leon, could you please close us out in prayer? That as I felt him starting to wind down the sermon, I would start writing the script of my prayer in my mind. Dear Lord, thank you for the service. Hope that it spoke to all the sinners and that we each go our separate ways and bless us and bring us back this evening. No, that sounds stupid. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the freedom of America. No. Dear Lord, I hope that we find our way back to you as mentioned in today's message. That's too personal. Dear God, no, dear Father, did I say Father? Dear Father, dear Father, dear Lord, I promise you with my hand raised high, I did that for at least the last 15 minutes of the service, only not to be called on with my perfectly memorized scripted prayer. I used to do that at work too, like those stupid icebreaker things when you first get a job and they go, okay, everybody in here, we're going to go around and play two truths and a lie. Okay, we're going to start over here on the right. Danny, you want to tell us yours? And I'm like the fifth or sixth one as they come in on the list, and I can feel the heat on the left side of my neck. I'm starting to go, two truths. Okay, I went to a private school. I broke my leg. I like puppies. I'm doing that. I'm practicing long before it ever gets to me. Anybody else do that? No? Just me? So I'm doing the same type of scenario as I'm walking towards my childhood hero, Lou Ferrigno. There's one person in line. He's so popular. There's one person in front of us, but this guy's a big spender and he's getting an autograph and then he's getting a picture. And so we're walking up. We're next. We're kind of sitting there. I'm going through my mind. You're my favorite heroes. Did the green paint ever sting? Do you like the Avengers? I was going through all the stuff I'm going to say because I don't know what to say. The person in front of us is done. He walks away. My wife leads like always, kind of pulls me by the hand, and we walk up there. But my wife does a little bit of a curveball, which was fine, but it kind of added to the awkwardness of the situation that led to me knowing and learning that my childhood hero sucks. She starts off instead of like before with, oh my gosh, I love you in The Haunting of Hill House, and oh my God, I love The Office, and oh my God, she said, so you're one of my husband's childhood heroes. And she's like introducing me with her arms stretched out like he grew up watching you. So I'm already caught off guard because I've been practicing my script in my head because I'm going to start off with, so one time when David Banner was, I'm doing that whole thing. But she starts off with, you're my husband's childhood hero, that kind of thing. So it throws me off. But fortunately, for the panic attack that was arising in my soul, Lou Ferrigno is a big old dick. Let me explain for those who have met him and said, no, he's a great guy. Maybe he was having a bad day. Maybe he was short on cash. But the interaction erased all of the warm, fuzzy feelings I had growing up watching the show, which is a big thing to do because it was what I loved. So I kid you not, the rest of this is no exaggeration. This is all truth. So as she begins this little introduction of me, Lou Ferrigno is not even looking at us. We're directly in front of him. He's looking off to his left. Lou Ferrigno never looks our direction. Lou Ferrigno doesn't acknowledge my wife saying, you're his childhood hero and he watched you growing up. Not a sound effect. Not a ripped shirt, no green paint, not even a glance, not a nod, zero body language, 000. In this moment, it felt like 30 hours. It's maybe 15 seconds, but that's a long time of silence. So I jump in with my clever, non-scripted answer and say, yeah, I loved your Incredible Hulk when I was growing up. Like, that's all I came up with. That's almost word for word. Still no reaction. I'm thinking I just doubled down by saying, yeah, what she just said about you being my hero, it's the truth, my man. It is all true. I reach my hand out to shake his hand. Lou Ferrigno still does not look our way, but he does reach his hand back out. A quick grab shake. My wife does the same thing. As my wife is lifting and pulling her hand away, she's just left the grip of the Incredible Hulk. As her hand is moving away, her hand's not even back to her body and by her side yet. Lou Ferrigno starts pumping out hand sanitizer like the cure to all disease is located in the bottom of that bottle. Still looking to his left. No eye contact, no acknowledgement. Starts sanitizing his hands as if Corona was already a thing. Kind of does like a little nose crunch sniffle to himself. And that's it. We're left with just walking away. No goodbye, no thank you, no nice to meet you, no thank you for coming up, thank you for being here. Zero. Now granted, celebrities, especially of his status, who hasn't had work in about 47 years, they're probably there for the whole picture. Let me sign it. Give me $60. And maybe he needed gas money. But that interaction with Lou Ferrigno completely erased him from my childhood enjoyable bank. It was such a big turnoff. In fact, a couple years later, this is how much it stuck with me. A couple years later, he was going to be going to a comic store we have here in San Antonio called Heroes and Fantasies. And they announced it on their wall. And I took the time to tell a much more abbreviated version of that story in a comment on the Facebook post. Now, this guy's a big doucher, I said. Hand sanitizer. Maybe he was onto something, like he knew Corona was coming. And that makes sense. If someone shakes your hand, you're shaking a million people's hands during the day, a bunch of diseases and stuff like that. But it was so cold and like he was like, ugh. And didn't even look at us. How do you not shake your head like cool? He could have said cool. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. Nothing. So Lou Ferrigno, I'm never going to watch another one of your movies. What's the last thing he was in? Let me look real quick. Let's see how big and great you are, Lou Ferrigno, with your I'm too good to look at you because you didn't pay $60 for a 1984 picture of me. Lou Ferrigno, let's see. He was only an actor from 77 to 82. And this guy's talking trash to me? Let's see. Let me see what we've done here. The last thing that Lou Ferrigno was in. Oh, shit. He has something coming out in 2021. Mummy Dearest? That sounds like it's going to make $4 billion at the box office. What's the last thing he was in that anyone on earth has heard of? Let me look. No. Bear Dares. Bandit Hound. Sharknado 3. You suck. He has a voice credit in Age of Ultron? I did not know that. Another voice credit in Avengers. He was a walk-on guest for King of Queens between 2000 and 2007. Whatever. Stupid hand sanitizer. Sometimes, kids, your childhood heroes suck. And Lou Ferrigno, I feel you owe me an apology. All right. I think that's enough for today. I was going to go into one more segment and talk about the lunch heist, but I'm going to tease that one. I had another memory pop up from the old days in high school when I was a renegade, a rebel. The very first version of Ocean's 11 took place in the lunchroom. I worked in the lunchroom with the cafeteria lady, and I made some choices that set my life on a downward spiral. I'm going to talk about the time I broke bad and how I went from Walter White and turned into somehow still Walter White. But we'll save that one. Maybe next week. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks for your time. Have a great weekend. I will catch you guys next time. And remember, when your childhood hero sucks or the chaos of life gets to be too much, just breathe.